Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I want to focus on financing. I want to talk about how we finance our properties as investors. And you're going to want to listen. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news, especially if you're thinking about doing a refinance. I'm going to introduce you to the FHFA here in just a second, tell you who that is, another acronym for you, and talk about some of the things they have mandated. Again, some good news and some bad news as well on that front. So stay tuned. And just to harken back to last week's show, you know, we talked extensively about fear, right? Fear holds a lot of people back from doing a lot of things, and it holds people back from getting started as investors in various ways, right? We talked about some of the things that concern people, right? When they're just thinking about getting started. And I've talked to a lot of people over the years. They know what we do, my wife and I, and they ask questions, lots of questions. You know, this might be new folks that we're meeting at Lifestyles or just out and about, right? Friends, family, that sort of thing. And one of the things that I mentioned that holds people back are money fears, right? They're, you know, the fear that you just don't have enough money or capital to get started, right? To get into the real estate game. And I'll tell you, in most cases, it's an unfounded fear, right? So I want to shine a light on financing for this reason. You're making assumptions and guesswork and not really approaching this from perhaps an educated standpoint, let's say, or maybe not properly informed. Let's put it that way, as far as the process that we use, at least anyhow, at Lifestyles Unlimited. You know, it depends on the model, right? It depends on the model that you're following. If you're that cash investor, you think you want to be that all cash investor, well, it's going to take more capital, isn't it? But that's not what we do, okay? And please don't get me wrong. What I'm not talking about here today is no cash deals, right? It's not what we do is not a something for nothing transaction, right? You do have to have some capital, right? You do have to have some capital to get into rental real estate. But again, I'll describe a couple of approaches you can take, and I think you'll see that it isn't necessarily as much as maybe you thought. Right. So we'll dispel that fear. And now I want to get into this new acronym, if you haven't heard this one before, the FHFA, and tell you what's going on here. So that stands for the Federal Housing Finance Agency. OK, not familiar. Doesn't ring a bell, right? It's relatively new as far as government agencies go. It was formed, again, pretty recently, back in 2008, as part of the Housing and Economic Recovery Act signed by, you know, back then signed by President Bush. And among other things, what this Federal Housing Financing Agency or Finance Agency, FHFA, what they do is they regulate, kind of steer, I suppose, Fannie Mae, right? That's the Federal National Mortgage Association, and Freddie Mac, and that's just an abbreviation, you know, jargon for the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. So both of those entities, it's important to understand who they are. Those two entities, they insure loans, basically, on single-family mortgages. And that's important for you, and that's important for me, because what they're doing, aside from insuring them, they also buy them, repackage them as, you know, mortgage-backed securities. So a collection of mortgages, basically, that they then sell on to investors. And this is good for us, right? It keeps liquidity in the market, right? This process and then that liquidity, as well as that insurance side of things, it helps keep interest rates low when it comes to conventional mortgages. And we're going to talk about those today. And again, this is the stuff when I refer to cheap money, I'm talking about Fannie Mae. I'm talking about Freddie Mac. I typically personally just call it, group them both under the Fannie Mae headline, but they are a little bit different. So we're going to focus on them as regards single family financing, but just be aware that both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac also offer, you know, what is known in the multifamily world as agency debt, right, for apartment buyers. And now Freddie Mac tends to work with smaller deals under a certain loan balance or newer investors, whereas Fannie Mae tends to work on the bigger stuff, more experienced investors, and they're the ones that are offering great rates. I was just astounded on a recent multifamily road trip that I went to when I heard rates in the threes. I mean, on debt on apartments, it's phenomenal. So a good time, really good time to be a real estate investor. Now, here's the thing with the FHFA. Again, that's the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Back in 2008, when this beast was brought about, what they did as a response to the housing issue is they brought Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae was private at the time. Freddie Mac was also out on the exchange as well. The FHFA brought both of them under their conservatorship, it's called, meaning they basically said, you are now part of our organization, essentially. We're going to tell you what to do. This happened back on September 7th, 2008, and they did this in order to then give your money and my money, taxpayers' money, funds, to these organizations to bail them out, because they are getting hard hit, right? They are getting hard hit. So right now, what that means is that the FHFA is calling the shots, okay? They're telling Fannie Mae and they're telling Freddie Mac basically what to do, okay? And that's important, right? That's important for you and me. We've already talked at length about the CARES Act many shows and shows ago when this whole pandemic came down the pike. And we know that as part of the CARES Act, for example, that an eviction moratorium was put into place, as well as a foreclosure moratorium. Now, that all expired towards the end of June. But the FHFA then said, you know what? We're going to use our power. Now, I didn't vote them into existence. I know you didn't either. But they're taking that authority. They're kind of doing a little bit of, in my mind, government overreach. And they're extending. And they did extend both that foreclosure and that eviction moratorium. Now, the interesting thing is that when they extended the eviction moratorium, they extended it for single-family investors or single-family homes that have loans that are backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They didn't do it for multifamily. A little bit inconsistent there. I don't get the logic, you know, but I do have good news for you as regards that action. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're about to head into a break. I'll give you the number when we come back if you have any questions as well. So this is Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb. If you've got questions for me today, the number is 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I do check those during the show as I can, or certainly on breaks. So again, that's askandy@luinc.com. Now, if you missed the first segment, we learned about a new acronym. Maybe new to you. Maybe you've heard of these guys before. It's the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And why do you want to know about these guys? Well, you want to know about these guys because they took, back in 2008 when this agency was formed as a response to that the then housing crisis, they took both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac under conservatorship, meaning they're now calling the shots, right? They're telling Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac what to do, right? Especially right now during the pandemic. They're the ones that pushed through, for example, the extension when the initial CARES Act eviction and foreclosure moratorium expired earlier this year. The FHFA is the agency that pushed that out even farther through tomorrow, August 31st. So that's one of the good news pieces for you. That expires tomorrow, but here's the bad news. They've also now done a further extension. But if you are a single-family investor like I am, now we talked about this in the earlier segment, they extended that eviction moratorium just for single-family homes, and specifically homes that have a loan on them that is backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, or is, you know, receives federal funds in some way, for example, as part of Section 8, you know, the voucher program, something like that, one of the housing programs. But they extended that through August 31st. That ends tomorrow. And the good news for us single-family investors, if you already have existing rentals in your portfolio, that is done, okay? The bad news is here, I'm just going to read you the press release. This is on the FHFA website. FHFA extends foreclosure and REO eviction moratoriums. The foreclosure and eviction moratorium specifically, and this is important for REO, real estate owned, is pushed back through the end of the year. Okay, so there cannot be any foreclosures on these backed loans until the end of the year. Now, the eviction part, when I first read this, I was like, oh man, they pushed it back again. But the key word here is that REO, that real estate owned. And what they say here is that in order to keep borrowers in their homes during the pandemic, they're extending the foreclosure and eviction moratoria through the end of 2020. And it says specifically that the eviction piece of that is only for properties that you have acquired through foreclosure or deed in lieu. Sorry, I had to find that particular language. So what that means for you, what that means for me, is that this freeze, this continued freeze, is still present for mortgages that are threatened with foreclosure, but the eviction only applies to tenants who live in properties that have just now been acquired at the end of the year through foreclosure, okay, or other, so, you know, it have to be Freddie and Fannie Mae backed, or Freddie or Fannie Mae backed. If it's a tenant that's in a house that is existing already, right, you didn't just foreclose on it somehow, then as I'm reading this, you are good to go. Now, you need to check with your local jurisdictions, your municipality where your rental house is, your state, your county. There's just a crazy mosaic of different regulations out there right now as it applies to evictions. So whatever you do, be sure to check with your local authorities as well. So some good news and some bad news. I mean, again, the good news for us as landlords with existing properties is, as I read this, that thing does end as of tomorrow. Okay. Now, more good news and more bad news. Okay. And this relates specifically to financing. And this also has to do with that beast, that Federal Housing Finance Agency. And here's the bad news, just to put it succinctly, for single-family investors. Again, does not affect multifamily investors. They're pushing out what is called an adverse market refinance fee. This affects whether you're doing a cash-out refi or doing just a rate-and-term refi. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, rate-and-term refi, how we use that as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. And this fee amounts to 50 basis points, in other words, 0.5%, that is due at origination. When you close, in other words, for example, if I am going through looking at doing a cash out refi right now on a property, the loan amount will be about $140,000. Okay, the loan, that means an additional $700 in fees. Okay, it's not going to stop me from doing the deal, you know, doing the cash out, because I'm going to be pulling so much cash out, right, that I can then go and invest in other houses, apartments, and so on. Still going to do it, but it's going to cost me more, right? It's going to cost you more. The bad news is they're going to implement this. The good news, and here again, this is good news. It's temporary, but initial plan was to implement this as of September 1st. Well, there was so much pushback. There was so much pushback from lenders and investors, just a wide swath of people, that they have now delayed this to December 1st. So you've bought a little bit of time. If you've been thinking about doing that cash out refi to get some money to play with to get into your next rental property, go do it now, right? Save some money. Now, if you drag your feet, if you're looking at that house that you want to buy and you want to buy following our process of purchasing with hard money, fixing it up, and then refinancing, doing a rate and term refi, don't let that stop you, right? Again, on a $140,000 loan, it's $700. If the deal's that thin that you can't manage the $700, maybe you need to look at another deal, right? But again, some bad news for you. It's going to cost you a little bit more as of December 1. Good news is, like I said, there's been so much pushback. And in fact, I'm looking at an article on MarketWatch that addresses this as well. What they're trying to do is recoup expected losses. They're expecting $6 billion, right, across both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that should be assigned to you as well. Well, where those losses come from? Well, they insure loans, those two organizations, don't they? And when those loans default, they come to the table, they make the bank or the lender whole, whose loan they were insuring, right, that originated that loan, the owner of that loan, and they're now expecting $6 billion in losses. That means they're expecting some foreclosures to come down the pipeline. So I ask you the question, are you ready when that happens? Do you know how you're going to finance those properties when they become available? End of the year, it sounds like, right? Foreclosure moratorium now pushed back for Fannie and Freddie loans until end of the year. Now, I will say, as far as this adverse market refinance fee goes, maybe it doesn't come to fruition at all. Right now, I'm going to operate. I'm going to move forward with my cash out refi, get it done, save that $700, get the cash, right? Show me the money. Let's run. But maybe it gets pushed out altogether. President Trump, as you may have heard on an earlier show, issued a number of executive orders, among them directing organizations like this to look at ways to help homeowners and to help borrowers, to help renters. And this totally flies in the face of that direction, doesn't it? And in fact, a senior White House official told the Wall Street Journal, I'm quoting here, that the Trump administration, quote, has serious concerns with this action and that they would review the fee. So, hey, Maybe it goes away altogether. Again, I'm not going to count my chickens. I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger, get this refi done. And if you've been thinking about it, go ahead and do it, okay? Go ahead and get it done. Get it done now, save some cash, and get into that next property. Be ready in case those foreclosures do start to come down the pike at the end of the year. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about lending and financing our rental properties. Stay tuned. This is Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb. You got questions? Give me a call. The number's 855-497-4335 or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. We were talking in the first couple segments about the Federal Housing Finance Agency and some of the directives that they've been issuing to organizations like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who basically help to keep the money cheap for us as investors, at least if we're financing with loans that are backed by Fannie and or Freddie. I know I've got some of both, right? Depends on, we always work with a mortgage broker. They shop around. Sometimes it's Fannie, sometimes it's Freddie. You know, it varies. But the important thing is, and I want to clarify an abbreviation that I threw out there. I think I named what the letters stand for, but the name itself, it might be a little bit confusing. We're talking about the fact that the FHFA has now given the directive to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to then push this out to their lending agencies, banks, and so on. That foreclosures are to be extended through the end of the year. Now, this is only for Fannie or Freddie-backed single-family mortgages. And in relation to that, evictions have also been extended, but only for those that are, quote, REO evictions, or based foreclosures, rather. REO means real estate owned. It's an industry term that means that the bank or the lender or Fannie or Freddie HUD have taken back that property. They've foreclosed, in other words. It's now part of their inventory. So the eviction extension is only applying in the case that they have now foreclosed on a property. If you've got a rental house, you've got tenants in homes that have not been foreclosed upon, my reading of this is that it no longer applies as of tomorrow. It expires tomorrow anyhow. So good news there. REO, another acronym. There's a ton of them in every industry. REO, real estate owned, just means that the bank or the lender or one of those agencies has taken back that property. Now, if they've taken back a property, that means you got a loan. So you've gone through and bought that rental house, right? How did you buy that rental house? Well, there are lots of different ways to get there. Lots of different ways to do this thing that we do as real estate investors. And one of the ways is to buy it using financing that is just straight conventional financing. I'll tell you a little bit later about the model we tend to use at Lifestyles Unlimited, but not, it's not exclusive, right? And I'll tell you that, you know, thinking back to your fear of money, not having enough money, part of it comes down to this piece right here. You know, this conventional financing is what most people think about when they think about buying a house. Why? Well, it's probably what you did when you bought your house, right? You bought it, you put 20% down, and financed the rest. Therefore, you look at that rental house you're thinking about buying, and you think, I got to put 20% down on a $200,000 house. Holy cow, that's a lot of money. And it is. Okay? Now, that's not what we always do here. It's what we seldom do, in fact. And the truth of the matter is, you're thinking, based from your experience, I get it, but there are lots of different ways to do this. And you assume that you've got to do the same thing when you buy a rental property. You absolutely do not. You can actually go in for lower down. I had a buddy of mine just bought a house over near Fort Worth. He put 15% down, right? Depends, you know, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 25. If I were to go do the same house, I would have to put 25% down because of the number of mortgages that I already have. So it's going to be determined by that as well as your lender, right? And be cautious because anything below that 20% will require, here's another acronym for you. It will require PMI. That stands for private mortgage insurance. Because you don't have enough skin in the game, there's a little bit more risk there. So you're going to have to pay that PMI until you achieve that 20% equity, right? So you can keep an eye on that and let your lender know, hey, you know, looking at the market and how much I've paid down, we're now at that 20%. Please stop that PMI, right? You can get that adjusted. But be aware of that and factor that into your calculation when you're projecting your cash flow, right? When you're calculating your costs, because aside from your standard mortgage payment, right, principal and interest, your taxes and insurance, you're now going to have that PMI on top. It's not a huge number, right? For the houses we're buying, for the size of the loans that we're doing, it's not a huge number. But I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. And when would you use conventional? Well, there are a couple of variables that are going to be at play. First of all, is time. You got to have time if you're going to go this conventional route, because it does take longer to close a conventional loan, right? The underwriting process simply takes more time. And I'll tell you right now, it's really taking a long time. There's just with everything that's going on with the pandemic, lenders are adjusting to the whole work from home sort of atmosphere, right? So it's taking a little bit longer in my experience. I reached out to my broker and said, hey, we're ready to pull the trigger and get going on this cash out refi. And, you know, it's going to take a good month. So time is critical, right? And a lot of times we don't have time, which is when we then go for that hard money option. We'll talk about that here in just a minute, in a moment. So we've got the time on our side, and as well, we would use conventional if the property is rent ready. Maybe it needs a make ready. Maybe it needs a little bit of updating, but it doesn't have any major flaws that would disqualify it from getting that Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac backed loan. These houses, they need to be insurable by these two entities. If there's something wrong, you know, foundation problems, that would disqualify it, right? There are lots of things that might disqualify. We'll talk about those briefly as well when we get to the hard money. But if it's rent ready, essentially, and I would add on top of that, if there's no real spread between your purchase price and the value, there might be a little bit of a spread, right? My buddy that bought that house over near Fort Worth, he did have a good spread. He made an offer. Value was a little bit higher. This was just an open market, you know, on the MLS deal. And he got the deal. And he had a little bit of equity built in there, but not enough to deal with the double close, the two closes that you're going to have when you do go down that hard money path. Again, we'll talk about that. So if there's not the spread there, well, go this, and you can, it's rent ready, right? It doesn't need much work. Go the conventional route. And we see that a lot at Lifestyles in particular. And I love this about the Lifestyles ecosystem is, you know, a lot of members like me get started with single family investing, buying houses, building up that capital. At some point, they shift gears. Maybe they start divesting some of those homes, those rental houses, to get into multifamily. or maybe just to buy more houses. That's an option as well, of course. And what do they do? Well, they're going to sell those properties. Now, some are going to spend the extra money to fix it up, get it in line with the new market reality, because the market changes over time, doesn't it? I've got properties now that don't have granite countertops where that's what everything around them selling right now has granite, right? So I may need to go in and update that, right? So rather than do that, well, maybe they find a fellow member, a like-minded individual. We've got 50,000 of them at Lifestyles Unlimited, and say, hey, I'm looking to move this house, cut you a little bit of a deal. I don't want to go in and dress it up. You want some equity. We'll sell it to you. And it's been fixed up, right? It's got great bones. It looks good. It might be, you know, might be a little dated at this point. Who knows? Depends on how long they've held it. You go in with that straight conventional loan. I see that a lot. I see that a lot. And it's a great opportunity to pick up, to get that cash flow, right? To get that cash flow built and build some experience too, especially if you are newer. In fact, my buddy that bought this house, I encouraged him. I said, look, you got to go the hard money route. You need to get a fixer up or you're going to build a lot more equity. You're going to capture some equity. You're going to get cash flow as well. You're going to have much less money in the deal if you go this route. But he was a little nervous, right? This goes back to fear, that topic we had last week. And, you know, so he said, I want to do my first deal this way. He pulled the trigger, got it done. Now he's looking for his next one, right? So that's fine. You know, he's building that experience. But that's when you would use conventional, though, right? When you've got the time and not a lot of work to be done, you might still capture some equity. And there's, you know, not necessarily a big spread between purchase and ARV. And also remember, as you go through your process as an investor, as you acquire more properties, don't forget, you can do up to 10 mortgages under Fannie and Freddie, up to 10 mortgages. And if you're married, if you have a spouse, significant other, they can do their own 10 if they qualify. I mean, you can get as many as 20 rental properties using that cheap money, right? And you may own your own house. That may take one of those loan slots away. But I got a buddy, he rents. He owns a ton of real estate. You know, he likes that flexibility. So certainly an option as well. And I'll tell you, when we come back from the break, I want to give you just a quick example of a property I picked up a couple years ago, early 2016, actually, about 4 years now, where we chose to go the hard money route, even though it was in good shape. We could have gone straight conventional. I want you to understand the difference in cash out of pocket that going the hard money route with its double close is made. So stick around. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. This is Andy Webb. We'll be right back.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today we're talking about financing. Now, the first half of the show, we talked more about the Federal Housing Finance Agency. You want to know who they are. If you are doing what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited and you are leveraging to get into your properties, right? We're not cash buyers, right? We buy either with hard money and refinance into long-term loans, or we buy with long-term loans out, you know, from the outset. That's what we talked about in the prior segment, is going what I call straight conventional, right? They're gonna control a little bit, right? They're gonna give some edicts to Fannie Mae and to Freddie Mac, this Federal Housing Finance Agency. So if you missed the earlier part of the show, we'll have the show archived. Go back and check that out. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio tab. It's important information for you. There's a new adverse market refinance fee that will be coming down the pike at us December 1st. half a percentage point that'll be due at closing. So hopefully we get that pushed back. It was originally coming down the pike September 1, and enough people were vocal enough to get that delayed. Maybe we'll get it canceled altogether. So make yourself heard. That's another message right there. You know, if you have it, get a direct line to your local senator, your congressman. Let them know what you're thinking, and let them know you don't like this stuff. You know, we didn't elect the Federal Housing Finance Agency. What's going on there? You know, now I get it. They're trying to shore up projected losses. They're projecting $6 billion in losses between Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in terms of foreclosures that will come when that moratorium has expired and so on. So, hey, more reason to get ready, by the way. More reason to get educated. Be ready to strike. Be ready to buy that rental property, whether you're buying it with straight conventional or using hard money. So you need to be educated. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. If you've got questions, this is the last segment. The number here is 855-497-4335, or send me an email anytime to askandy@luinc.com. Now, we were talking about buying properties using conventional financing, just going straight in, putting that down payment down, and that down payment will vary depending on you, right? Depending on you, the borrower, who you're working with as a lender, how many mortgages you've already done. And we looked at a property, actually bought a property rather, back in 2016, very start of the year. I think we closed sometime in March or April. This was listed on the MLS. It was a California investor that was divesting their portfolio here in the DFW area because they wanted to move on to something else, right? Common progression. We talked about that. And, you know, it was in good shape. It was a rental house. It had a family in there. They were moving out. Right. We were happy with that. There wasn't a lot to do. You know, a little bit of cosmetic stuff. Nothing structural. Had a new AC. We did a little bit of plumbing work in the yard, put in a pressure relief valve, that sort of thing. You know, minor stuff. Nothing that's going to affect the appraisal. Nothing that's going to affect the ability to get that conventional loan. But we didn't get a conventional loan. Why not? Well, if we had gone that conventional route, due to the number of mortgages that I had at that time, I bought this house, I would have had to put 25% down. Well, purchase price was $80,000. Let me state that. So that would have been $20,000 out the door, right, that I'd have to put down. Add on top of that some closing costs. And then we did about, again, not a lot of work. $6,700 was the repair budget that we wound up putting out there. So I would have been $30,000 out of pocket to get this deal. It still would have been a great deal. But by going, because the seller was eager to move their properties, they discounted their property, right? We buy right. And because we were able to get it at $80,000, that market value at the time was a little north of $100,000. The spread was there. Even though the work didn't demand it, we were able to buy with hard money. Yeah, we had double closes. We had to pay for the close at the hard money purchase and again at the rate and term refi. But at the end of the day, my cash out of pocket into that one house was $15,000. Again, this was back in 2016. Could have been $30,000. It was half of that. And that is why... And one of the reasons why we like to buy with hard money, because we're typically buying assets that we actually can't buy with a conventional loan because they are distressed physically, right? The foundation's out of whack. Maybe the seller had a bunch of animals. Noah's Ark, Mike Harrison talks about one of the houses he bought, you know, just full of animals. So what they do, they pull up the carpet to get rid of the smell. Well, now it's not insurable per Fannie Mae. So I can't get that conventional loan. So I've got to go in and put that new flooring, which I would anyhow. But because of that, they have to discount the thing. So we get it with that proper spread. That's how we create that equity that we talk about, that equity capture. So that's one of the reasons why we use hard money. So when and why do we use it? Well, there's that condition. We just talked about that. It's a distressed asset physically. Now, sometimes it's a distressed asset due to the seller, the owner. Distressed how? Well, we just talked about pending foreclosures that are building up in the pipeline through the end of the year. Those are going to be distressed sellers. And when they get that foreclosure notice here in Texas, 21 days, they have a very limited time to get things figured out. Typically, a lot of people drag their feet, you know, unfortunately, and that timeline gets even shorter. We finally get approached about this deal, and we got a week to close. What are you going to do? Conventional financing takes a long time. You don't have the cash to just pay all cash for the thing. You don't want to do that anyhow. So use hard money. You know, we looked at a deal, picked up a deal, closed in 3 days. I saw it, walked the property, said, I'm doing it, signed the contract. 3 days later, we closed because of hard money, because they can move fast. So that is why. That is when and why we use it, because of the condition and or because of the speed that we need to close. If you're buying from a wholesaler, a lot of us do, you're going to have to close fast typically for the above-mentioned reasons. Again, they're marketing to distressed sellers, and by the time we get there, you know, they got to go fast. Speed, condition, and then I already mentioned less cash in the deal. So thinking about that house, I paid $84,000. I could have been $30,000 into the deal. I was 15. Now, what about a cash buyer? Cash buyer might have seen that house, said, you know what, I'm going to pony up that $80,000. I'm going to do that $6,700 in repairs. They're going to have some closing costs. Now, their closing costs will be less because there's no lender's title policy, right? And they're certainly not doing two closes like hard money and then the rate and term refi out of hard money. But now they're into the deal for, what is that? Let's just call it $87,000. Yeah, if I can repeat what I did and get another house for $15,000 and another one for $15,000. Now, don't hold on to those numbers. The market has changed. But just by way of example, that cash investor has one house. Divide $87,000 by 15. What is that? Five or six houses. I'm now controlling, collecting rent on five or six houses. Five or six houses are appreciating. Five or six houses are paying me monthly cash flow. I'm getting that equity buildup by paying down the mortgage. Obviously, the cash buyer doesn't have that mortgage to deal with. They think that's a conservative play because they don't have that mortgage. But I would tell you, you got one asset. You know, if it burns down, you're out of luck. I got five or six instead. Right? And this, again, is just one example. But that's why we do what we do. That's why we buy with hard money. What's the process look like? Well, in this case, you know, we went out, we looked at the house, got a little bit of information from the residents that were there, and put together a scope of work. And by the way, if you are a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, there is a scope of work class coming up later in September. Check that out, because you want to be able to put together a scope of work. And we put together a scope of work. We give that to our hard money lender. They send out an appraiser. Appraiser looks at what we're doing. He says, okay, well, based on this, it's going to look like these three sold comps here in the neighborhood that appraised at 104 in this case, and in my example. There's the value. Now, your hard money lender does not lend based on that $80,000 purchase price. They lend based on the expected, the after repair value, the value of the house when you're done fixing it up, 70 to 75%. Now, some of those lenders have pulled back a little bit now due to the pandemic. They might have a lower loan to value, but still 70 or even 75%. And back then, I think this one was 75% of the expected value. Therefore, we had purchase price plus some of the rehab in there, which is what allowed us to come to these deals with so much lower out of pocket. So back to those money fears. If you're afraid you don't have enough capital, if you're thinking, I could never do this, I just don't have the money. For one thing, when you join Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll meet with a mentor at some point, and they'll help you kind of look around and figure out what you really have. Okay. They'll kind of figure out what it is you need to do, what you want to do. Right? They'll have a conversation with you, and you'll probably, your eyes will open. Okay. That's what happened with us 8 years ago. And we sat down with our mentor and walked through that process and figured out our path, our specific path, right? And got into the single family. But you'll learn, and you'll learn this as well by going to the case studies and seeing what members in your area are doing right now. Or I like to go to the case studies now that they're virtual and online for Houston. Right? For South Texas, for Central Texas, even the national case studies, you know, just to see what's going on, what numbers to expect, what deals are out there, what people are doing, just to take away, you know, inspiration. It's good stuff. So again, as Lifestyles members, we're typically actually following this hard money model. I looked through all the emails I get from the various markets in terms of properties that are available, deals that are to be had. And most of them are hard money deals, right? Again, got to close fast or condition of property needs to be addressed. But I love those deals because that's where the equity is to be found. You know, I love the smell of money. Yeah, it smells like dead animals in that hoarder house over there. But hey, that is what's going to build your wealth. That's what's going to allow you to go farther because you're getting that property at a discount. And, you know, we talked a lot about the Federal Housing Finance Agency. If you missed the earlier part of the show, go check that out on our archives. Adverse Market Refinance Fee. If you've been thinking about refinancing a property, do it now. Get it done. Save that $700, $1,400. Depends on the loan amount that you're doing. And again, main message, You can do what we do as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. Get educated, build your team, get your financing lined up, both hard money and conventional, and go buy a house. Get started. How do you get started? Go check out our website, freeworkshoplivestream.com, to learn more. Hey, this is Andy Webb. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's been a pleasure. I thank you for listening. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.